the 1450 WHTC and WHTC.com newsroom, here's what's happening.
Good afternoon. I'm Gary Stevens. This news is brought to you by Marsilia Insurance. It's been another banner day weather-wise along the lakeshore, and the winning streak will continue through the weekend. A look at Holland's hometown forecast from WHTC.com follows this news. Two cousins, one of them a coach at Bloomingdale High School, have been arrested and charged in Allegan County for allegedly having ongoing sexual relations with a 14-year-old female student.
The young victim's parents found sexually charged text messages on her cell phone and immediately notified state police. That led them to Bloomingdale junior varsity basketball coach Adrian Ledesma and eventually to his cousin Jaime Ledesma II. They say none of the encounters took place on school property. Adrian has been charged with two counts of first degree, one count of second degree criminal sexual conduct. Jaime's charged with one count each of first, third, and fourth degree CSC. The crimes reportedly took place over a 2 to 3 month period. Adrian Ledesma knew the girl because she played on the team his wife coached at the high school.
John McNeil, WHTC News.
Even though a select few knew the result in advance, a crowd that gathered at Hope College last night to view the latest Jeopardy! TV show cheered local product Mark Chapping as he won in his first appearance. Now living in Washington after his 2005 graduation from Holland High, Chapping ousted an eight-day winner to claim over $33,000, and among those invited to the Moss Center was Holland Mayor Kurt Dykstra.
When he answered the final Jeopardy question correct, the place was erupted. And then when the leading person in Final Jeopardy answered it incorrectly, the place really went wild. Very, very fun.
Chapping is the nephew of recently retired city staffer Jody Sines. A Hope College associate professor is in line for a prestigious Fulbright Award, meaning some time away from Holland soon.
Catherine Sullivan will be spending the 2013-2014 school year in India studying the appearance of mythological and sacred female figures in Hindu art. Sullivan has received two other awards that have sent her abroad recently. She went to South Africa earlier this summer through a program of the Nagel Institute and will be visiting Italy in the coming weeks through a Great Lakes Colleges Association New Directions grant. In addition to Sullivan's teaching duties at Hope, she was a visiting artist at the University of Indianapolis in 2008 and at Ithaca College in 2006. Diane Costin, WHTC News.
The Center of Vintage and Classic Vehicles in West Michigan this weekend is in downtown Zeeland. The annual Zummerfest began yesterday with sidewalk sales and continues this evening with the sixth annual car cruise through the downtown district. Jim Schottel of the Michigan West Coast Chamber of Commerce says, and in such a short time, this has become a lakeshore tradition.
I look at it like another family reunion. We find people coming in that have been coming every year or found out about us during those years, and now they come back year to year.
Highlighting the parade will be the appearance of the GM Futureliner, the advertising showpiece displaying products of the 1940s and 50s that soon became household items. This 10th of 12 such vehicles ever produced is one of only nine still known left in existence, and Schottel says that it has a Zeeland tie in its most recent restoration.
Don Maton, retired GM plant manager, he, under his auspices, the National Auto and Truck Museum out of Auburn, Indiana, gave him, and he had a whole crew, and they met in his garage, and they worked on this, and now they're letting him store it.
There will be a chicken barbecue in Vanderluster Square, where the cruise ends, with proceeds to benefit student scholarships for Zeeland area students. The 20th annual Show and Shine car show climaxes Zummerfest tomorrow. Is the EPA doing enough to keep invasive species out of the Great Lakes? In terms of dealing with ballast water from ships in American waters, one environmental group doesn't think so and is going to court to prove it.
The suit was filed by the National Wildlife Federation, and senior policy manager Mark Smith says stronger regulations are needed because ballast water can and has led to the introduction of a number of invasive species.
Case in point of that is the zebra mussel, the quagga mussels that are renowned for causing catastrophic damage to the Great Lakes. So we're trying to make sure that when EPA regulates the discharge of this ballast water, it's done in a way that is protective enough so that they will not introduce new invasive species to our waters.
It's estimated that ballast water invaders cost Great Lakes citizens, utilities, cities, and businesses at least $200 million every year in damages and control costs. I'm Rob South.
Last week's admission by the White House that a one-year delay in implementing the business mandates of the Affordable Care Act is akin to tossing raw meat into shark-infested U.S. house waters. Speaker John Boehner didn't mince words when he called for a vote on 12-month pauses in both the business and individual mandates.
Frankly, it's wide open to fraud and abuse. In short, it's a train wreck.
Fellow Republican Bill Heisinger of Zealand used a Saturday Night Live analogy.
Well, it's not ready for prime time, and the reason why these warts are coming out is that the timelines that were put in there are forcing these decisions, and we have a big problem here.
The second-term congressman says the White House just can't be selective in its constitutional duties.
The law was ill-conceived when it was put in place. Before I got there, I'm dealing with the echo effects of it right now. However, the president cannot pick and choose what elements and what laws to adhere to and what not to adhere to.
That vote in the House will be sometime next week, although Speaker Boehner didn't immediately pinpoint a date. He was born Leslie Lynch King, Jr. in Omaha 100 years ago on Sunday. And the presidential museum that bears his changed name through adoption, Gerald R. Ford, is honoring the 38th chief executive throughout this weekend with various activities. Earlier this spring, at a reception in Grand Rapids, veteran CBS newsman Bob Schieffer bemoaned the current lack of bipartisanship that the longtime congressman from the Calder City had exhibited on both Capitol Hill and in the Oval Office. But current Congressman Fred Upton of St. Joseph doesn't think that the atmosphere in the nation's capital is all that bad.
He was one that really knew the process. He was the minority leader in the House for a long time. He knew the members. He had a great relationship with people on both sides of the aisle, as well as the White House. And, I guess you can point fingers at a lot of folks. It isn't going like I'd like to think that it is, but I'm not willing to throw in the towel either.
Mr. Ford died 6.5 years ago at the age of 93. The Tigers host Texas this evening in the opener for a 3-game series with Mr. Doug Fister on the mound for Detroit against the Rangers' Justin Grimm. Victor Martinez and the defending American League champions are coming off the sting of yesterday's 6-3 loss to Chicago, dropping 2 of 3 to the last-place White Sox in Comerica Park.
Well, that just shows everybody how baseball is. You know, that's why we never take anything for granted, but, you know, nothing that you can do. I mean, we already lost 2 out of 3. Turn the page, come back tomorrow, and ready to play baseball game.
Dan Dickerson and Jim Price bring you all of the action on 1450 WHTC at 6:40 p.m., Meanwhile, the White Sox head east to Philadelphia for the opener of a 3-game series tonight with John Danks starting for Chicago. The Cubs continue their 4-game series with St. Louis at Wrigley Field late this afternoon. Anthony Rizzo drove in all 3 of Chicago's runs in last night's 3-0 triumph over the Cardinals in the friendly confines.
Luckily, when I got the knocks, people were on base and able to come through and help out. You know, it feels really good.
The rubber game of the series between the Whitecaps and visiting Clinton is this evening at Fifth Third Ballpark. West Michigan spanked the Lumber Kings last night with a 16-hit attack and a 13-1 laffer. But as analyst Dan Elvey said on 1450 WHTC and WHTC.com after the contest, the Caps need a more consistent attack, night in and night out.
We don't need 13 runs and 16 hits to win games, but you do need, you know, 5, 6, or 7 runs, and you need to have 10 or 11 or 12 hits. And I think that this club is capable of doing that, and hopefully a game like tonight will get these bats going.
And it doesn't draw much attention in West Michigan, but the state's largest annual single-day spectator sporting event returns to the waters of the Detroit River on Sunday with the running of the 104th APBA Gold Cup. More than 500,000 people normally line the shores to watch feature races for vintage boats and super light tunnel boats, but the stars of the show are the unlimited hydroplanes. It can reach speeds of or beyond 200 miles per hour. The Gold Cup is the oldest active trophy in all of motorsports. Holland's hometown forecast from WHTC.com calls for mostly sunny skies this afternoon, high 84. Clear tonight, low 63. Plenty of sun tomorrow, high 88. And in times of sun and clouds on Sunday, we will tickle the 90-degree mark. 69 degrees in the water. Green flag is flying, and this news has been brought to you by Marsilia Insurance. Check them out online at yourhometownagency.com. I'm Gary Stevens for 1450 WHTC, Holland's hometown station.